One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. Now, you know, Jesus' teaching attracted a lot of people. Crowds of people were attracted by Jesus, but among them were often, and you'll find this all through the New Testament, the Gospels, among them were teachers of the law and Pharisees, and they weren't there to learn necessarily. They were there to scrutinize. They were there to criticize. They wanted to find something wrong. What's going on with this new teacher? He's teaching new things that he's trying to take away the things we've been teaching all these years, you know? So they were there to scrutinize. Now, what's interesting about Jesus is that he didn't just teach by his words. That's really important. He did not just teach by his words. He taught by his behavior. He taught by what he did. And here's what he did in verse 17, in the same verse that has about the Pharisees coming and looking at what's he teaching, what's his words about. It says, "And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick." That's a very interesting verse, and it really troubled me for many, many years when I used to believe that Jesus did everything as God. He didn't. He didn't do everything as God. He did it as a man. And so he didn't heal unless the power of the Lord was there present to heal. And you know, that's a big difference in the teaching that I was raised with. Because I didn't understand that Jesus became a true human to show us how to be humans. You know, that's really important. That's really important. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. It was actually his spiritual attentiveness. And we're going to talk a lot about attentiveness. Because it was his spiritual attentiveness. And it was through that Jesus taught us the key to his own spiritual ministry and to our success in living the Christian life. He wanted to show us how to do it. And it was spiritual attentiveness. Now, the attentiveness played a major role. This attentiveness played a major role in the healing of the paralytic that we talked about in this passage. And sin has the power to paralyze. Sin has the power to paralyze us in many ways. But Christ turns crippled sinners into walking saints. And that's the theme of this whole message. He turns crippled sinners into walking saints. And many times, those crippled sinners are us. And this story begins with something else, though. It begins with the attentiveness of some other people. Who are those other people? The friends of the crippled sinner. That's what we're going to talk about first in verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Real friends are attentive to the needs of the one they care about. They're attentive to their needs. They care about spending time and energy to get those needs met. They care about spending time and energy. And that may mean praying, time in prayer. Or it may mean visiting those people. Or it may mean inviting them to come to church and bringing them to church. Or bringing them to Bible study. Or bringing them to some special event where the Bible is being preached, or might be dropping off something at their house that they can read, and something that interested you and might share them with that. It's the idea of sharing, and you know why I really emphasize sharing all the time. This idea that Dawn has taken over this area of the service, and I really like that. So we can share with one another. Share with one another. That's what friends do. And friends also recognize the condition of paralysis, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual or emotional, and whether the person was born with that way or whether they were infected in life along the way or whether they were emotionally wounded, somehow wounded. maybe by family upbringing, maybe by satanic traps they fell into, or maybe by just some kind of hurts, the hurts and trials of life that can produce emotional wounding. But also, friends, hope for a divine miracle. Isn't that what you pray for people a lot? It's for a divine miracle many times. We're praying for a divine miracle, and many times our friend has lost hope in a divine miracle. Hope for any healing. And we're the ones that have to believe for them that there's going to be a healing. That's why God uses people to heal others. And what they had to do, though, they had a little obstacle. They had to get this person to Jesus. They had to get past the crowd into the presence. And you know something? That's what it says here. When they could not find a way, they could not find a way so easily. They could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. They went up on the roof and lowered him in his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd. And they took the roof apart and lowered him down right so he would be right in front of Jesus. They figured on it. They had to figure this out. They said, let's see. He's right there. Those tiles. Those tiles. Let's go. And they up and he took the tiles right over the spot where Jesus was. They lowered him right in front of Jesus. And you know what? People can also hide in crowds. You know, people hide in crowds a lot. They don't want to be personally known. They hide in a crowd. And what we have to do sometimes is to bring them, make sure we're bringing them to Jesus. We can bring them to church. That's nice. We can bring them to Bible study. We can bring them Christian literature. But what we really need to do with them is get them to connect with Jesus. That's the most important point. And so they did this. And when Jesus saw their faith, he was looking at the faith of these friends. He wasn't even looking at the fellow on the mat. He was looking at the faith of those friends. You know, God has he pays attention to corporate faith. When we join together as a corporate group and we pray, God pays attention to corporate faith. That's why it's important. And Dawn said, let's get up a board or something for Mary Beth and her husband and their work in France. And let's pray for them because, like I said, France has been in the past the what they call a graveyard. A graveyard for missionaries because it's so hard. And people go there and break themselves on France. Let's pray that God breaks open France. Okay, through Mary Beth and her husband's ministry. What's his name?
John.
Mary Beth and John's ministry there. Let's pray that they learn the language and then they'd be able to speak it fluently. Well, so, God recognizes corporate faith. And his corporate plan is what? It's the church, isn't it? I will build my church. That's what God is in process of doing. But in that corporate plan, the church, God deals with us one-on-one. He deals with us individually, and he deals with our special individual needs. Special needs that we have, specifically. Things that are just our needs. He deals with those. And so it says, friends, your friend. Now Jesus said to this guy, he was this guy's friend, but now Jesus is calling him a friend. And he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. I don't know what those men were thinking. Wait a minute. We're not. He can go to sacrifice at the temple and get his sins forgiven. We want him healed. You know, Jesus was being spiritually attentive. You've got to remember this in Jesus' ministry. He did it all. He did it all by listening to the Holy Spirit. He did it all as a man. He did it all by his Father's will. He said, I only do my Father's will. I only speak my Father's word, what he tells me to speak. I don't speak anything else. I don't speak on my own. I don't do anything on my own. I do only what I see my Father doing. I say only what I hear from my Father. That's what his testimony was throughout his ministry. And so when we see Jesus, it's his attentiveness to the Holy Spirit. He's attentive, and he made this declaration by his attentiveness. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that Jesus didn't just know what to do because he said, I'm God, and therefore I'm going to forgive his sins? He was God, but he'd become a human so he could show us how to live. And so he didn't do anything as God. He did it as man under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how the scriptures read. Now, how do we know that? And I know it because he said so. Here's how he said it. He said it to his disciples in John chapter 20. Listen to this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. No, you're not God. I am God. But as God, I became a human, and God sent me as a human. And now, you're humans, and I am sending you. That's what he said. And what did he say for them to do? And with that, he breathed on them what? Receive the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus know it was time to heal? The power of the Lord was present to heal, and he knew it because he was spiritually attentive to the Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. We have trouble with that, don't we? That verse. Men are given the power to forgive sins only through the what? Holy Spirit. So how are people to know if they're to say, your sins are forgiven? Just like Jesus knew it. The Holy Spirit saying, his sins need to be forgiven. Okay. Your sins are forgiven. You see? That's the key to the ministry. A spiritual attentiveness. That's the key to his ministry, and that's the key to our ministry. Go over and visit that person today. Oh, you mean drop what I'm doing and go over and visit them? Yes. What am I supposed to say? I'll tell you when you get there. Are we obedient? We need to be obedient. Or we can't do any ministry. We can't live this life. We cannot do what Jesus told us to do. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. That's how we know how Jesus did this. He did his whole ministry this way. Salvation is much more than the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's what it started with, the forgiveness of sins. But God wants us to know that that's where it begins. And that's why he maybe brought this whole thing out. He wanted to show that salvation is a complete salvation, but it must begin with the forgiveness of sins. That's the starting point. Every single individual, it must include that special, crucial, important thing of being released from sins. That's what the word forgiveness means. Release. To be released from those sins. Christ turns crippled sinners into walking saints. And friends can help. We can help each other. Friends can help. They can bring individuals that they care about face to face with Christ, where the miracle of spiritual healing can take place. And that healing can be more than forgiveness of sins, as we're going to see. But not everyone wants the spiritual problems of others to be resolved. Not everyone's happy about that. You know. And I'm talking about the foes of the sinner's Savior. There are foes of the sinner's Savior, and they were present that day. There were Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, who would be opposed? Who would be opposed to sinners being released from their sins? Now, who would be opposed to that? Well, maybe those that are jealous of it happening outside their jurisdiction. Well, what is he doing? That's our jurisdiction. We're the teachers of the law. We can teach people how to get out of sin. What's he doing? He's usurping our authority, you know? They were jealous, in a sense, maybe. Religious leaders can be that way. Sometimes psychologists can be that way. Oh, you must go to a counselor. Oh, you can't. Oh, that's charlatanism. You can't get your emotional problems solved that way. Your deep-rooted sins and guilt and all that kind of stuff. Come to the psychologist. We'll take care of you. Your psychologist can be a little jealous of that too, maybe. Maybe family members. Keep it inside the family here, you know. Don't go out any place outside of it. You need to have a problem, come to the family. We'll take care of it. So it could be a lot of people that are jealous of it happening outside their jurisdiction. Or doubting that God still works today. There are people that say, no, God doesn't do that. That's not what God does. Let me tell you something. God likes to climb out people's boxes that he makes for them. God likes to climb outside of people's boxes. God can only work in this way. He said, really? Watch this. Bang! And all of a sudden, we've got a miracle and say, wait, that's not in the church. That didn't happen in the church. It's supposed to happen in the church. But God can do anything he wants to, right? And many times he does stuff outside of our boxes that we create for him by our unbelief many times. And then, maybe these guys were trying to hide their own need of God's forgiveness. Oh, what is he doing about forgiving sins and stuff? You know, because they're thinking about, what about me? You know, I don't want to talk about this forgiveness of sins thing. Well, we look at the Pharisees, and were they right? Were the Pharisees right that God alone can forgive sins? Or were they using God's role in forgiveness as an excuse not to get involved themselves? Why weren't they helping this fellow with his sin? Why weren't they involved? And maybe that put the spotlight on them. You know, you're not involved in helping this guy get his sins forgiven. So what are you talking about? You know, and they were actually maybe using that as an excuse. You know, really, if you think about it, Jesus wanted to show them something. That's what he was about. His life was about getting sins forgiven for people, and guess what? Later on, he authorized us to do it too. And that's what that passage in John I read. Breathe the Spirit on them, give them the Holy Spirit, and they should be able to do the same kind of work and help people get their sins forgiven. You know, and be able to pronounce it over and say, God's working on that person right now. So let their sins be forgiven. And you say, your sins are forgiven. And people say, whoa, wow. What? How do you do that? You say, Holy Spirit says that your sins are forgiven. Oh, wow. Well, I need something else. Well, okay, that's what we're going to find out about. There's something else here that's needed too. You know, Jesus, when he saw them doing this, when they were thinking this, it says, by the Holy Spirit, this is what I believe, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus stayed attentive to God. He did not get distracted by what they were doing because he picked up on it. And they said, you say, well, they were thinking these things. Was he reading their minds? No, the Holy Spirit was reading their minds. And he knew what was happening because he was in tune to the Holy Spirit. And you know, this is interesting because it said Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking, and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Satan can play parlor tricks with mind-reading games. He can. And you've probably heard about that down through your history of life here on the planet. You've probably heard of people with mind-reading, and they do mind-reading tricks. And they can do it for parlor tricks. But the Holy Spirit is not into that. The Holy Spirit brings prophetic words to our hearts and our minds to bring conviction of sin. And how do I know that? Well, in the church, like when we're having sharing time, there may be somebody that's led by the Holy Spirit to share something. And that happened one time, I really believe, when I forget the lady's name who stood up and said something happened to her in skilled nursing. And it just really convicted my heart that we don't treat people the right way. She was actually rebuked by the Lord about how she had treated this person. She apologized. The person fell into tears. And she began to minister Christ's grace to that person. And it made her day. When she'd been a little disgruntled, it made her day, and it made the other person's day too. You know? And when she shared that, I thought, that brings conviction to my heart. How am I treating people? And you know what it says in 1 Corinthians, when the church is together and the church is speaking and sharing with one another? It says, and if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, this prophesying word means to speak forth. Lord moves you and you speak forth, prophesying. He will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God really is among you. That's how our sharing time should be. And that's why it's important for us to be what? Attentive to the Holy Spirit. What does the Lord want me to share? And he may do that during the week and show you things. Satan wants to distract us, okay? Mind reading games and all that kind of stuff, and all the occult things. He wants to distract us. Jesus wants to direct us. Satan wants us to miss the path of salvation, and Jesus wants us to find it and enter the path and walk on it. Jesus brings us not only salvation from sin, forgiveness, but he also brings us deliverance from sin's power. He turns crippled sinners into walking saints. And that's what this all is about. He does that with the fullness of salvation. The whole ball of wax, everything. He wants you to have the whole thing. God's perfect salvation includes forgiveness, but it's not just forgiveness. It's deliverance. It's everything. It's forgiveness, a release from our sins, but it's also deliverance. In God's eyes, forgiveness is very, very simple. It's basic. It's a basic matter. Which is easier to say, Jesus says? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up and walk? In effect, what Jesus was saying is that this special work of healing is much greater and much more complex, a much more complex matter than the forgiving of sins. Simple. Forgiving of sins is a simple thing. Healing, now that's a biggie. We look at this and we say, well, sin, having your sins pardoned, having them forgiven, that's one thing. But what about sin's disintegrating power in people's lives? How it's torn their lives apart? How it's wounded them deeply, deeply, and have scars from those sins that has hurt their life, all areas of human life? Or sin's paralyzing effect. Its paralyzing effect sometimes allows Satan to move in and start to control people's wills because they're paralyzed by the sin, the power of sin in their lives. And God wants to deliver them. Not just from forgiveness of sins, but sin's power is defeated by Christ and his followers. It's defeated by Christ and his followers when? It says, when the power of the Lord is present for him to heal and for us to heal. To work. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. That's the power that God has over all of those things that are paralyzing in our lives. God's full salvation is from a perfect Savior. You know, the Messiah was a human. He was supposed to be a human. He was prophesied that he would be a human. Jesus is God. But he became a human. Messiah. The Christ means he was a human. And his work made his identity known. He was to be the Messiah, the Son of Man. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And that echoes something. That echoes Hebrews where it says that the Son of Man has authority over sins. He has come to save completely those who come to God through him. Not just the start. Jesus doesn't stop at the start with the forgiveness of sins. He goes on. He who began a good work in you, it says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. The good work starts with forgiveness, but it ends in deliverance, in healing, in total completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We are to live out our salvation, our eternal life. We're to live it out not in eternity, but now. It starts now. Our eternal life starts today. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and take up your mat and go home. Now, what does that mean? It means leaving our paralysis and listening to another master. Because sometimes people are mastered by their paralysis. We need to listen to another master. It means taking hold of the former things that paralyzed us, the paralyzing habits that sin led us into. It means to take the old mats of behavior that have been carrying us, and it's to carry them away. It means living liberated. It means living set free. Liberated pilgrims journeying heavenward. That's what we are. We're pilgrims journeying heavenward. God's full salvation produces a perfected saint. And that's what happens in verse 25. Immediately, he did. He stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. And that's what crippled sinners become walking saints when. It happens when they stand up boldly before crowds of doubters. You know, they stand up boldly. He stood up boldly. He didn't say, well, I don't want to stand up in front of all these people. No, he stood up boldly. And what did he do? It said he took control over what controlled him. He took control over this habitual mat he was lying on, and he rolled it up. It's all done. That's over with. That's all rolled up. You know? And when saints are walking saints after being crippled sinners, they begin a heavenly journey homeward. Homeward in victory and praise, rejoicing in their relationship to Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Healer, the one who forgives sins and the one who delivers us from the power of sin. Verse 26, everyone was amazed, and they gave praise to God, and they were all filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. You know, enthusiasm. Wow, enthusiasm comes and goes with the crowd. That same crowd would say, crucify him a little ways later. You know, yeah, hallelujah, hosanna, now crucify him. That's how the crowd is. That's how crowds are. They can just go with one emotion or another emotion, enthusiasm. Or we look at doubters. Doubters who have seen remarkable things today, but tomorrow they may be back in their stubborn skepticism, right? That's how doubters can be. But God isn't into a show business. That's not what he's doing this for. He doesn't forgive sins and heal people to show off his power to the crowds or to doubters. That's not what he's about. Why did he do this? He did it because he loves sinners. He loves and he wants to heal us. He wants to save us. He wants to get us out of our paralysis to sin. He wants to turn crippled sinners into walking saints. That's what we need for ourselves. This story is about us, but it's also the story. It's the story that we're supposed to be doing to bring others to this Savior and this Healer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for these words. They're an encouragement to us to get up and walk out of our paralyzing sins because you are the Healer. But also, Lord, for us to minister to others. Let us be those friends that bring others face to face with you, and help us to do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.